You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I've been waiting for this all week. With the Syracuse crew neck today, this is his peak season. It is the Plaid Prince, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, #BeardGang, Peter G. Sweeney. How you doing, my man?
Man, it is good to be here, and you're right about the season. I mean, it's not too hot, not too cold. It's that perfect weather right now.
Did you see my weather report?
You were on Fox 4, correct?
Yeah, I just want to know if you saw my weather report.
I thought it was good.
Okay, thank you.
Lifelong dream fulfilled. I mean, you got to love that.
What was good about it? He went, it's cold in Chillicothe, it's cold in Olathe, it's cold in Lee's Summit. He didn't do anything.
You got to understand something, Sports Machine. I support my friend's dreams.
That's what Pete, thank you, man. Okay. I wish I had that kind of support here at the radio station. I got to get it from outside the building. To get
so
that
Cameron
kind of
is
report.
Cold and Chillicothe is cold and Carrollton is cold. I told you,
and KCI
is cold and Olathe is cold too. I'm going to assume it's windy and it's fall.
That's the voice of an entertainer.
That's Pete. That's what I like to hear.
I mean, he's better at that than he is sports talk, but that doesn't mean it was good.
It's a low bar.
That's what I like to hear. So, Pete, you've been making some television rounds here. You're a staple on Sunday Sound Off on Action 41 News. You went on there and clearly under the red glasses, drinking the Chiefs wine. You said the Chiefs are going to have a top 10 defense in the NFL.
The Chiefs coming into this game against the Vikings giving up 22.6 points. Top 10, the 10th, was 19.6, so that's 3 points. So is Kendall Fuller, Frank Clark, healthy Alex Okafor, all these guys, when they're in a groove, is that worth 3 points? I tend to think so, especially when you consider some of the rookie contributors on this team, like a Juan Thornhill, like a Colin Saunders, like a Rashad Fenton, who continue to get better. They're only going to get better as the year goes along, and then once you get all these guys back healthy, Clark especially, if he can come back fully healthy and ready to go, I think top 10 is feasible. I'll go ahead and say 8th or 9th, somewhere between 5th and 10th.
Okay. Before I read you the names, are we talking about yards allowed or points per game? I just want to know.
We were going points.
Okay, points per game.
On that point, yeah.
Let me look to see who the 10 best defenses are in the NFL. New England, San Francisco, Buffalo, Minnesota, Dallas, Chicago, Tennessee, Los Angeles, Denver.
Okay, yeah.
New Orleans. Those are all the teams
for
that
what it's
allow
worth,
less than 21
if you really
points
listen
game.
To the point there, it's between 8th and 10th that I was real specific. I find that if this team can get healthy, and don't get me wrong, on Sunday, this was after drunk off the Matt Moore
definitely
wild win. But still, I find if it's completely healthy and Frank Clark can come back from this mysterious neck injury and perform like we thought he would. That was the question. Are they healthy? Are they truly healthy? Then I think, yeah, I think they could be a top 10. I'm not saying top 5, but I think up there.
Pete said mysterious, not me. I didn't say mysterious. He said mysterious.
Do you think it's mysterious? Because Sean thinks that it's mysterious. I know he's saying
funny
that.
Something
Sean
going on.
Thinks that it's some funny business going on with his neck.
I think what is odd about the whole situation is the Chiefs and Andy Reid, they admitted that Frank finished the game against Denver and was fine. Then the neck injury pops up and he misses, the two games. Where did it come from?
I mean, he was better than fine that game. That was really the only game this season I thought he was really good.
Right. Where you were looking at the next game and say, okay, they're going to have 10 days off. Maybe
here we
build
go
on this. And yeah, it's a little odd because usually what you'll see is over the course of time, they appear in an injury report. Ian Rappaport said he's been dealing with this for some time. We didn't see him on the injury report at all. Where did it come from? And they never really explained it. So, yeah, to me, I'll agree with the machine. It's a little mysterious.
Do you believe that he's been dealing with it the whole time? Because
yes.
He lacked explosiveness to me.
I don't know if it was a neck I have to think, seeing him in training camp, I came here, guys. I mean, I remember, if you know, you want to dig up tape of me, you dig up the tape of me saying Frank Clark is going to be incredible. You got to get up to training camp to see Frank Clark.
You were drinking all the St. Joe juice when it came to Frank Clark. That's, I mean, you were making.
Got
to
be
it.
Careful with the St. Joe juice because it'll get to you.
Really
no, but it's true. He just looked insane. He was wrecking Eric Fisher every day. And again, I know Eric Fisher isn't in the upper echelon of the National Football League, but we're seeing right now just how important he is. And I just said, man, I can't wait to see this guy in the regular season. It just hasn't been as good as he was in St. Joe. So I tend to think there was something going on. And it was hard for me to believe that because we never saw him on an injury report. Then when you see the neck injury and it costs him two games and Ian Rappaport tweets something like this is something he's been dealing with, then I start to think, oh, maybe I was right about that.
In studio with Pete Sweeney. Pete, the three of us, at least in this room, are under the impression that Pat is more likely than not to play. It seems like that's what all the indicators are pointing toward. Do you agree he's probably going to be on the field versus Tennessee?
I'm at about an 85 to 90% on Pat playing this week. I think there is a slight possibility if something goes wrong this week that you won't see him. But again, you got to look at all the signs. And I just mentioned Rappaport. I'll mention him again. This became the target date over the last few reports from that level. And Rappaport obviously is well-connected among the NFL, well-connected in the Chiefs front office, is obviously coming out of the Kansas City camp. And so I think you ultimately see him playing the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. And yeah, Matt Moore, I was out there today. He was taking the first snaps, but they're probably splitting, if not Mahomes taking a few more. I'm sure Moore is working just in case, but I got to think this is the day in Nashville that Patrick Mahomes returns.
Wouldn't you say, though, Pete, it would also make sense if they wanted to, that they could adjust the timetable? Because I hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
They announced the whole time the target date was the Tennessee game. They also didn't know Matt Moore was going to be this good.
Right. And that's a dicey take to make, only because once you start talking about that and you say, okay, now we're going to hold Patrick Mahomes because we know is Matt Moore good, are you really looking out for the health of the and benefit of the player, or do you just care about winning football games? I rely on the doctors. I don't know if anyone truly knows what's going on with the knee except the doctors, and if it's not going to be better than this 10 to 15% chance that he could, you know, redislocate the knee the rest of the year, they're not going to hold him the rest of the year. If it's not going to improve any more, then I think at some point you just have to let him go. And I think that's where the Chiefs are at. And there could be a situation where he has postseason surgery, which would be the equivalent of like a cleanup where you can get it back to 100%. But my understanding, talking to our in-house injury expert, is it's hard to think that this will be 100% without some kind of reconstructive thing, and that can only occur after the season. So you got to put him back in eventually. He's going to be playing hurt a little bit.
And, I mean, all their energy and actions would suggest that they believed this was the target date. Just, you go to practice every week.
Yeah.
How many times do you see guys practice for two consecutive weeks and then not play in the game the way that Mahomes has been practicing with the team if they're injured? Like, I think that maybe from the beginning right. They said that we think it's a 3-week injury. Now, we'll see where you're at. And I saw Andy today said, well, maybe he could do X, Y, and Z. The way he's been acting, he was certainly more moving around on the sideline for this game than he was for the last game. You saw the video. Maybe you guys were the one that posted it. He was at some charity event. He was dancing around and stuff. Sure. Like, everything would suggest that Mahomes feels comfortable enough to play. And if it's his choice, he's going to be back out there. So, basically, in my mind, if he doesn't play, then it will be the Chiefs saying kind of what Sean is saying. Hey, we're happy with where Matt Moore is. We'll let you sit for a couple extra weeks. We're not willing to push you yet. But Mahomes appears to be physically ready to play and mentally ready to play.
Right, and the one dicey part about that, too, is football is different than practice. And you hear guys talk about football shape all the time. There'll be moves and angles that Mahomes moves when it's the regular season football game that it's just impossible to replicate in practice because you just aren't evading pressure, you aren't doing certain things. And so there's that concern, but I got to imagine the Chiefs are going to be smart about this. Like, not only are we all looking at it in Kansas City, the entire country who is obsessed with football, I think we saw with the comparisons between football and the World Series, is looking at this. And if the Chiefs mess this up, it is going to be a colossal, colossal disaster and failure. And I don't think that they would let him play if they didn't feel, okay, this is in his best interest. This is the best time to do it.
Right now, we're talking to Pete Sweeney. He is the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. If you have a question, we'll go rapid-fire with Pete Sweeney coming up in about 5 minutes. Text line 69306. Go ahead and get to the front of the line with your question. What do you make of the Eric Fisher injury? It seems very odd to me because the initial report was 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
I don't think he's coming back before the bye week, so it's longer than they had anticipated. What's your read on it?
Well, Andy Reid today was asked about the Eric Fisher injury, and he was pretty straight up and said he tried to go again, which was that lone practice, I think it was last week or the week before. I'm a little bit shaky on it right now, but it was either last week or the week before. He tried to come back from the groin surgery, and it was bothering him. And so he didn't want a situation, I'm assuming, like last time when he injured it, did not feel good. He ended up trying to play in the game, I think played 2 or 3 snaps and then had to leave the game and had to have surgery again. So I think they're being extra careful. They're listening to the player, and eventually, hopefully, he'll get back in the mix. But him not practicing today leads me to believe he won't be practicing all week, which leads me to believe you might be right, because there's one more game after this one. It might just be, let's rest him for the next 3 weeks and try this again a month from when it bothered him the last time.
Speaking of only playing 2 or 3 snaps, LeSean McCoy. What the hell is going on? Does this team have a feature running back? Does Andy know how he wants to use these backs? Is it Damian? Is it Darwin? Like, what the hell is going on?
That was on my mind this week, and this was the Monday press conference, and I asked him, is this a running back by committee type deal? And he more or less said, we're going to ride the hot hand. I think LeSean McCoy, when he did fumble the football, he got in a little bit of the doghouse, and it seemed like he might have, in the early part of this game, maybe rolled up his ankle a little bit, where he maybe had needed a couple plays off, and then all of a sudden you put Damian Williams in the game, and for the first time in a really long time, he looked like the Damian Williams down the stretch of last year. And then once he runs for a 91-yard touchdown, you ain't taking him out. At that point, you're leaving him in the football game. And I think that's what the Chiefs are going to do. Like, maybe you have a series with one running back not performing, not having as much burst. You try the next guy, and I think that extends to even Darrell Williams. Darwin Thompson seems to be the only guy out of the mix right now, which continues to be a little bit surprising, but I think the Chiefs just like their veterans a little bit better.
What about stopping the run, though? They really shut down. I mean, I didn't think they'd have any chance of shutting down Dalvin Cook, and they were
shocking.
Great.
Shocking, shocking performance, and you got to hand it to Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs for sticking with it. These last three games, you're starting, I think, to see the identity of the Chiefs, which is this aggressive defense that hopefully you can handle the run. And you know, back to my hot take, I guess, on Sunday sound off, I feel like as they get these pieces back, it'll only get better and better.
Maybe this is going to be one of those years for the Chiefs that was similar to New England. Like, New England hasn't always had the bell cow, clear number one defined running back and still went to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's going to have to be how the Chiefs do it. I don't think they can run the ball without Eric Fisher. Not effectively, not efficiently, and not consistently in the playoffs. If this is going to be a team where you think that one guy can get 18 carries for 110 yards in a playoff game, you are only doing that with a healthy Eric Fisher.
Yeah, injuries suck, but sometimes what they show you is just how valuable people are. I don't think we gave Eric Fisher nearly enough credit for how good of a left tackle he is. Again, I don't think he's an elite left tackle, but he certainly is above average in the National Football League, and it's hard to come by. I don't know if there are 32 left tackles in the National Football League, so I tend to agree with you. I think to run the football, they're going to need him back in the mix. Cam Irving maybe isn't the guy. There are certain things that you could do to get the run game going, and I think until they can, they're just going to ride the hot hand. And even with Matt Moore in the lineup, it doesn't seem like Andy Reid is over-interested in running the football X amount of times per game as we maybe would have predicted. No matter who the quarterback is, I think we even saw with Alex Smith back in the Alex Smith days, he wants to throw the ball. And kudos to Matt Moore for throwing the ball downfield and finding a connection with Tyreek Hill when he hadn't worked with him all year. Very, very impressive to beat the Minnesota Vikings, especially with all the weapons that they have. I continue to just think about that. I don't know how, with the Vikings coming in with the top 5 offense, I think they were number 3, that Matt Moore was able to basically outduel Kirk Cousins. And again, I know that's not an elite quarterback in some people's eyes, but just to beat that team, very, very impressive for Matt Moore to do in just his second start.
Has Andy got enough credit for the fact that this team is 6-3, played with a backup quarterback, no left tackle, number 1 wide receiver's been injured, Frank Clark's been out, Chris Jones? Like, I don't know, Pete, how many coaches could have their team at 6-3.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right in the coach of the year mix for everything that he's gone through. He has the NFL MVP now, and we were always questioning, is it Reed, is it Mahomes? I think it's the perfect marriage, but you just see how important Reed is. For him to win that game with Matt Moore and a banged-up Chiefs team, that's gritty, and you know what? It buys Mahomes time, like you were saying. It gives the Chiefs a couple options.
Coming up in just a few, we will get into rapid fire with Pete Sweeney, so go ahead and text your questions in. We'll do that here momentarily. I've got one more thing I want to ask you about. We were talking about Frank Clark and his impact on the defense. Have you noticed that they haven't had Kendall Fuller? Like, if I told you at the beginning of the season that they were going to miss Kendall Fuller for two of the more difficult opponents on their team and they were going to still be right. B-plus or A from the secondary, you probably would have called me crazy. Man, that's what's happened so far yeah. with this team. Have you noticed they haven't had Kendall Fuller?
No, and that's what's been incredible. And I know you like to play these games on the show, and we'll sometimes have, okay, the top five most important Chiefs that aren't Patrick Mahomes. And last year, I would say, oh, it's Kendall Fuller. Because you lose Kendall Fuller, what kind of cornerback depth that you have? But yeah, these guys have done a good job holding down the fort without Fuller. I expect Fuller to be back in the mix this week, though. He's had a couple games now without the protective brace. He's been working with it. It seems like the injury was a little bit, I think, more tender than it was last year, because last year he only ended up missing a game. I think he's on three now. But I think you see him back this week with again, a protective club of some sort. But how he fits in that mix, I don't know if you necessarily give him everything back if things are working for you. You kind of, I think, ease him back in and see how he does.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to do that. I'm just thinking about it because the only corner that is under contract after this season is Charvarius Ward. I don't know if you're breaking the bank to keep Kendall Fuller. I know he's going to be on free agency, but you're not going to offer him the franchise tag. I assume that's designated for Chris Jones. I don't know what they're going to do with Kendall Fuller, to be completely honest. I know Veach likes him because he traded it for him, but I don't think it's 100% he's on this team next year.
You could make a case that is a guy who could be in line for a third-round compensatory pick if he signs elsewhere because of just what he has done in the past, and or even a fourth-rounder. And yeah, I could see the Chiefs evaluating and saying, would we rather have a third or fourth-rounder than bringing Kendall Fuller back when we managed this X amount of games, this chunk of games without him?
Pete, after watching the Patriots lose to the Ravens this weekend, do you think the one seed is back in play?
I do. Only because the New England Patriots are on the Chiefs' schedule. I feel like if they didn't play later on in the year and couldn't get one back easily like that by just winning on a Sunday evening, then it would be still out of reach. But the fact that now the Patriots lost, they're playing a little bit of a tougher schedule now. They got a tough stretch. It doesn't seem like they're just going to run through it like we might have thought. The defense looked like it could be vulnerable against certain types of offenses. Yeah, I think there's a way the Chiefs get back into this. If you want the one seed, though, your room for error is real small. You pretty much have to run the table here and then win a Week 14 against the New England Patriots.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get into the Hot Take Olympics as we have a new challenger that enters the ring. But before we do that, let's go rapid fire with Pete Sweeney.
Oh, it's party time.
Text line 69306. If you got a question for Pete Sweeney, we'll ask it to him. What's your favorite Taco Bell item? I'm serious. That's the top question.
What is the octagon shaped thing?
The Crunchwrap Supreme.
The Crunchwrap Supreme, and I like the crunchy tacos.
They still have chalupas?
I assume so.
I love me some chalupa.
Every time I come on here now for the rapid fire, it ends up being about beer and tacos and.
I don't say that it's Chiefs else. Questions. I say if you have a question for Pete Sweeney, I will ask Pete Sweeney your question.
Hey man, I'll answer them.
Does Andy Reid have a feasible chance to win Coach of the Year?
Yeah, I think so. 1-1 with Matt Moore, especially if Moore has to play another game, and you just look at the injury list. I think it was coming in the last game. Not everyone was out, but there were 10 starters on the injury report. 10 starters receiving treatment. A handful of them were not playing. You were out without Sammy Watkins. You were out without Frank Clark. You were out the MVP. You took a high school coach and went 1-1 at least. 2-1 if you consider him finishing off the Denver Broncos game. Yeah, he's in the mix.
I think Kyle Shanahan's probably going to end up winning that award.
Yeah, I was trying to wonder, what's the argument to give it to Andy Reid over Shanahan or Sean Payton?
Yeah, I think with Shanahan, it's just been a little bit healthier than of a team. Sometimes I think adversity leads you to believe, okay, maybe a guy can have a few losses and still get the award.
What's your favorite craft beer?
Favorite craft beer? I like, would Boulevard Jam Band be considered in that mix?
Yeah, that would count.
So I'm not a big sour guy. I'm really not. But that to me is the only sour that I go with. And I mean, I tend to enjoy it. I think, you know, shout out to Boulevard for doing that.
You ever had a Grolsch?
What?
I think that's what they're called. PK? Can you confirm that or not?
Did he just curse at me?
It sounded like he did.
I'm pretty sure it's called a Grolsch. Text line 69306. Or am I making that up? It comes in like a real unique bottle. I'll get back
I've
in my life.
I've never seen these before. Apparently, they are a real thing.
You know, I also like...
I'm going to tell you, Grolsch.
I mean, knowing Sean, it was hot in 97.
Yeah, Grolsch.
They came out in 1615.
Don't you? I knew it was a long time ago.
Ballast Point Brewery is good, too. If you they have that locally. The lager is good.
What's your favorite movie of all time? Text line 69306.
Favorite movie of all time? This is going to be funny. I love Big Daddy. Did you ever see the movie
Big Daddy? I cried during Big Daddy.
Really funny. You know, there's a couple movies. Like Shawshank Redemption, whenever it comes on, I'll always watch it all the way through.
I just want to point out that the two movies you named were an Adam Sandler movie and Shawshank Redemption. Well, it wasn't like...
Man, wrong, though. Those are both
You know
great
what it
movies.
Was? So Big Daddy, to me...
Great on very two different opposite ends of the spectrum.
I grew up with Big Daddy, and I recited with my friends, and then I saw a thing today on the Twitter that was like, what movie would you stop at any time and watch all the way through? And like Shawshank Redemption came to mind, so that's why it was fresh in the brain.
It is always on... Shawshank and Forrest Gump are always on cable television.
Yeah, you gotta watch. There's a couple movies like that, like The Departed, you always watch all the way through.
Do you see any future for Armani Watts?
Feels like an invisible player right now, right? I mean, you do have to play special teams, but sort of out of the mix with how good Juan Thornhill has been, Tyrann Mathieu. I think the Chiefs keep him around, and you kind of see how he develops, but a lot of that development we don't get to see.
They played Jordan Lucas over him this week.
Right.
Oof.
Anytime you have to make that sound before a take, the answer is no. That's the answer.
The Lucas
Anytime
locomotive.
You gotta go, the answer is no. What's your favorite Disney movie?
I think I'm an Aladdin guy. Like Aladdin, Jafar, and the Genie. I do love the Genie.
I love Lady and the Tramp.
I'm talking about Robin Williams' Genie. Forget this Will Smith Genie.
See, that you know my favorite character is, right?
Yes. I don't say it. Please don't say
Can
it.
Can I?
Move
Go
forward.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Rafiki.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Love Rafiki.
You knew it was coming. Oh, you knew
Rafiki.
It was coming.
Oh, my ears.
Someone on Twitter or someone on the text line asked if you can follow them on Twitter. They did not give me their Twitter
do
handle,
it,
though.
Pete.
You want me to get it?
Of course.
It sounds like it's a young lady. Her name is, I don't want to say her name, actually.
I'll do it. Maybe yeah, of course I'll follow
Yeah, I don't want to say her name. Would you rather die being stabbed by a plastic fork or a metal spoon? So I'm just asking.
It sounds like the fork would be a little bit quicker, and so I guess I'd go for it.
I'm going to ask a Chiefs fan real quick. Would you re-sign Charvarius Ward after the season?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Best quarterback on this football team.
Why not? I saw that rep with Stephon Diggs. He seems like he's legitimately coming along. Good for Brett Veach for doing something right there.
When with Hill and Watkins healthy, does the third wide receiver on this team matter?
With Hill and Watkins healthy?
Mm-hmm. That is the question.
No. It seems like DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman are a little interchangeable right now. At this point, no. Hardman, you thought, had a little bit of an edge right there, especially a few weeks ago, but this fumbling thing. He almost fumbled twice in a row. I don't know if anyone noticed that. I know it was on special teams, but...
Are you the one trying to get that Jet nickname to stick for Hardman?
Jet Hardman.
I like Blue Chew.
Oh man,
Hardman,
I do know you
Blue
like
Chew,
I do know
Hardman.
You like Blue Chew. I've heard a couple commercials.
I just think that would sound good, but you know, what do I know?
The sex machine.
That's what they call
it. A nickname.
They don't call him that anymore.
No, they don't call him that. Yeah, I got trouble for that one.
A nickname only works if you would call someone that in a normal, regular conversation.
What's up, Blue Chew?
There's never be a conversation where I would call Mecole Hardman Blue Chew. Not a single one. Like I would call Eldrick Woods Tiger, or you might call Kobe the Black Mamba. No one is going around saying, number 17 for the Chiefs, Blue Chew. No one's doing that, bro. Nobody.
Chew it and do it.
No, none of your nicknames have ever stuck. There's not one.
The Chris Jones one should have. Junk Jones. Remember what happened in the 40-yard dash, right? That one should have stuck.
Leave Jet Hardman alone.
It's better than Stone Cold. I'm sticking with that
Blue
one.
Chew.
Jet Hardman.
Yeah.
Last one here, even though he cut the music off. Who is your favorite WWE wrestler?
I've been forever. When I was younger, Ultimate Warrior, and then Chris Jericho has always. I was always been a Chris Jericho guy.
Nothing about Chris Jericho being your favorite WWE superstar is surprising.
You seem like Bam Bam Bigelow. And he from your hometown or something?
What?
Bam Bam Bigelow,
Asbury Park, New Jersey. Oh. No, I'm from Flower Park, New York.
Okay,
that is our guy, Pete Sweeney.
It's been fun.
For all your Chiefs information, there's only two places to go. One is 610 Sports Radio. The other place is Arrowhead Pride. .com. He's the editor-in-chief. He's the plaid prince. He's just an overall swole guy.
Big thanks to BK, C-Dot, and of course the sex machine.
Keep it locked
I'm gonna
in.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Right
He's going
to
get me in trouble.
I didn't say that one single time. Spec, I'm good.
I specifically said he was in trouble for that.
And then Pete out here. Pete trying to get your job.
That ain't
low
on me.
Key happening
I know what
here.
He's doing.
Keep it locked in. We have a new entry into the Hot Take Olympics. I'll explain what I mean coming up.
Subscribe. The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.